Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Wednesday, September the 14th, 2016. And today we're going to be getting into Bamidbar 19 and 20. That is the book of Numbers, which correctly is named In the Wilderness, Bamidbar. So let's get started with this. This is the story of the red heifer. So we'll get into this right now. Chapter 19, verse 1. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, "This is the ordinance of the Torah that commands Yahweh, saying, speak to the children of Israel, so that they bring to you a heifer, 6510, of red, 122, without blemish, 3971, with no spot, 3971, that never bore, 5927, upon it a yoke, 5923. And give it to Eleazar, the priest, to bring it forth to outside the camp, and slaughter it, 7819, in his presence. Verse 4. And shall take Eleazar, the priest, of its blood with his fingers, 676, and sprinkle directly before the tent of meeting of the blood 7 times. Another use of the holy number 7. Verse 5, and shall burn, 8313, now that means to destroy by fire, and shall burn the heifer in his sight, the skin, 5785, the flesh, 1320, the blood, 1818, and the dung, 6569, he shall burn. Verse 6. And shall take the priest wood of cedar, 730, and hyssop, 231, and scarlet, 8144. That would be the scarlet worm that they ground up to make the dye. And cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. These were all sacred items, very important. Verse 7, then shall wash his clothes the priest, and shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward shall come to the camp, and shall be unclean the priest until the evening. Verse 8, and he that burns it shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and be unclean until the evening. Verse 9. and shall gather 6 to 2 a man that is clean, the ashes 6, 6, 5 of the heifer, and lay them up, one word, 5, 1, 1, 7, outside of the camp in a place that is clean. In other words, store them there. And it shall be for the congregation of the children of Israel, kept, for the water of impurity, 5, 0, 7, 9. And 5, 0, 7, 9 literally means rejection. It is a purification for sin, 2, 4, 0, 3. Now, verse 9, you can reference Hebrews 9, verse 13. Okay. Verse 10. And he that gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening, and it shall be to the children of Israel and to the sojourner that sojourns among them an ordinance forever. Verse 11, he that touches any dead person of Adam shall be unclean 7 days. Verse 12, he shall expiate 2, 3, 9, 8 himself from it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he does not expiate himself on the third day, on the seventh day he shall not be clean. These instructions were given in a prior chapter. Verse 13, whoever touches the dead person of an Adam that is dead, they wrote this, I didn't do it, of course the dead person would be dead, and does not expiate himself, the temple of Yahweh he defiles. And he shall be cut off, that person, from Israel, because the water of purification was not sprinkled upon him. He is unclean, 2931, and shall remain in his uncleanness, 2932. That's what the heifer was slaughtered for. They would mix those ashes with water and sprinkle it on that guy. That was the water of purification, literally, the water of rejection. So the sin was rejected from upon him. Verse 14, this is the Torah. If an Adam dies in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent is unclean for 7 days. Verse 15, and every vessel that is open that has no lid, 6, 7, 8, 1, bound with a cord, one word, 6, 6, 1, 6, upon it is unclean. Verse 16, and all that touch upon the surface, 6, 4, 40, of the field, 7, 7, 0, 4, one who is slain, 2, 4, 9, 1, by sword, or one that is dead, or a bone, 6, 1, 0, 6, of an Adam, or a grave, 6, 9, 1, 3, literally a sepulcher, shall be unclean 7 days. And here we go. Here's what the dust is going to do from the heifer. Verse 17, and they shall take for the unclean of the dust, 6083, of the heifer that was burnt for a sin offering, and put it in water that is living, 2416 in a vessel. And 2416 means like running water from a stream, not just from a stagnant pool. It has to be running water, clean, oxygenated water. Verse 18, and shall take hyssop and dip 2881 it in the water, a clean man, and sprinkle upon the tent and upon the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon the person that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave, and shall sprinkle the clean upon the unclean on the third day. And on the seventh day they shall expiate themselves, and on the seventh day they shall wash their clothes and bathe in water, and shall be clean at the evening. Okay, that's what the ashes were used. And mixed with water and sprinkled on these people and things. But the man that is unclean and does not expiate himself, according to what was in some of the prior chapters, shall be cut off, that person, from among the congregation, because the sanctuary of Yahweh he has defiled. The water of purification was not sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. Now remember, the sanctuary of Yahweh was in the middle of their encampment. And Yahweh walked unseen through the entire encampment. And if you were unclean, you defiled the sanctuary of Yahweh, which was the entire camp of Israel. That's how he looked at it. And that's the ordinance that he gave us. Verse 21, and it shall be an ordinance perpetually, 5, 7, 6, 9, which means literally for a very long time, that he sprinkles the water of purification, that he that sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothing, and he that touches the water of purification shall be unclean until the evening. And whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person that touches it shall be unclean until the evening. So if he walked up to you and shook your hand, you'd be unclean until the evening. Ooh. All these ordinances have been fulfilled. Yeshua Messiah took care of that, all this remission of sin with blood and burning and sprinkling and all that stuff. He covered it all over when he gave up his life for us. So that wraps up chapter 19. Now let's get into chapter 20. 19 was a real short chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 20, then came the children of Israel, the whole congregation, into the wilderness of Sin, that's T-S-I-N, in the first month, and abode the people in Kadesh, Q-A-D-E-S-H, 6946, and died there, Miriam, that was Aharon and Moshe's sister, the prophetess, and was buried there. Now, verse 1 of chapter 20, you can reference the book of Yashar, which is Jasher in English, chapter 84, verse 24. And here we go again. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered together against Moshe and against Aharon. It never ends. Verse 3, and contended, 7378, the people with Moshe, and spoke, saying, oh that, that's one word, 3863, we had died, 1478, when died our brothers before Yahweh. In verses 2 through 13, you can reference Exodus 17, 1 through 7. Verse 4, and why have the congregation of Yahweh come unto this wilderness, that we and our livestock die here? Verse 5, and why have you made us to come up from Mitzrayim to come to this evil place? This is not a place of seed, 2233, or of figs, 8384, or of vines, 1612, or of pomegranates, 7416. Neither is there any water to drink. Oh, wah! Verse 6. And went Moshe and Aharon from before the congregation to the door of the tent of meeting, and prostrated themselves upon their faces, and appeared the glory of Yahweh to them. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, now pay attention to this verse. Verse 8. Remember the first instance with the rock. Moshe was to smite the rock and bring forth water. This verse is the second occurrence, and it is different. Verse 8, take the rod. And that's the holy rod, okay, and gather the congregation, you and Aharon your brother, and speak, 1696, to the rock, 5553, in their sight, 5869. They were to speak to the rock in the name of Yahweh, and it would bring forth water. Speak to the rock in their sight, and it shall give forth water. And you shall bring forth to them water from the rock, and give drink, one word, 8248, to the congregation and their livestock, 1165. Now, this verse 8, you can reference Exodus 17, 6. This is a repeat. But here, they were to speak only, not hit the rock. Verse 9, and took Moshe the rod before Yahweh as he commanded. That was his symbol of authority. He wasn't supposed to hit anything with it. He was just to carry it. Verse 10. And gathered Moshe and Aharon the congregation to before the rock, and said to them, because evidently Moshe was angry, hear now, 4994, now, you rebels, 4784. From this rock must we bring forth, 3318, water, like he was going to bring it forth. Whoa, he said, we bring forth. He did not praise Yahweh and say, in the name of Yahweh, I command this rock to bring forth water. That's what he was supposed to do. He says, here now, you rebels, from this rock must we bring forth water. Like he and Aharon were going to do it. Big mistake, Moshe. Verse 11. And lifted up Moshe his hand and smote, 5-2-2-1, the rock with the rod 2 times, 6-4-7-1. And came forth water abundantly, 7-2-2-7, and gave drink to the congregation and their livestock. On verse 10, you reference 10 through 12, actually, you reference Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33. Verse 11, 5-2-2-1 is the key word. That is, smote the rock. He was not supposed to smite the rock. He did it in his anger. And he says, must we bring forth water? And here Yahweh checks him on it. Verse 12, and said Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon, because, 3-2-8-2, you did not believe me, 5-3-9, now that can be believe or to trust, to sanctify me, 6-9-4-2, in the sight of the children of Israel, you shall not bring this congregation to the land that I give them. He and Aharon do not get to go into the promised land because of this. He took it upon himself and acted presumptuously, and Yahweh has warned Israel about being presumptive, to presume to take it upon themselves, this authority. He was to speak to that rock, in the name of Yahweh, I command you to bring forth water. That would have been enough, and Yahweh would have done that. And he would have gotten the glory. Verse 13, these are the waters of Meribah, 4809, because strove to strive, 7378, to contend, strive, the children of Israel with Yahweh, and he was sanctified in them. Now, verse 13, reference Exodus 17, verse 7. Now, Meribah is linked to 7378. And 7378, the root word is rib. R-I-Y-B. Hence, 4809, Meribah, M-E-R-I-Y-B-A-H. The waters of striving. Reb, R-I-Y-B, is in the middle of the word Meribah. And that's where these two words are connected. 7378 is the root for 4809 Mariba. Now we're going to have some trouble with Edom. What else is new? This is why Yahweh hates Esau, Edom. That ends my coffee. Verse 14. Sent Moshe messengers, 4397, from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, thus says your kinsman Israel, you know of all the hardship, 8513, that has found us. 4672. How our forefathers went down into Mizraim, and we have dwelt in Mizraim for a long time. And afflicted, 7489, us, the Mitzrayim, and our forefathers. Afflicted, 7489, is treated wickedly or evilly. That's the true meaning of 7489. Verse 16, and when we cried out, one word, 6817, when we cried out to Yahweh, he heard our voice and sent a messenger and brought us forth from Mitzrayim. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge, 7097, of your border, 1366, Gibul. Now the messenger was the divine being that killed all the firstborn. Sent by Yahweh. Verse 17. Let us pass through, please, your country, 776, used as country instead of land, or pass through your land, country. They used it differently. It never means the whole global earth. It means the land that they are in. We will not pass through the fields, 7704, any of the plantings, or the vineyards, 3754. Neither will we drink of the water of the wells, 875. In that dry land, water was precious. By the way of the king, we will go. Now, the king's highway was always a raised road, so it wouldn't flood during the rain, and it was easily followed. It was marked. It was raised up. Not turning, 5186, to the right or the left, until that we pass through your borders, 1366, Kabul again. Here's verse 18. Here's Edom's reply. And said to him, Edom, in other words, the king of Edom, the ruler, you will not pass through by me, lest I come forth to meet you, 7125, with the sword, 2719. To meet here means to meet you in battle. It can just mean to meet, but here it means, because of the following context with the sword, to meet you in battle. verse 19, said to him the children of Israel, by the highway we will go up, and if we and our livestock drink of your water, then we will pay for it. We will only, 7535, and no other thing, on our feet pass through. Verse 20, and he said, you will not pass through. And came forth Edom to meet them with many people, and a strong 2389 hand. A lot of soldiers. Verse 21. Thus refused 3985. Edom to give passage, 5186, Nitton. That's one word. Give passage to Israel to pass through his border, and turned aside 5186 from upon him. Why yet? They're different versions from the same root, literally to stretch out. 5186 has multiple uses in different tenses, and it's one of those words that they use for a bunch of stuff, and they pronounce it differently depending on the context. So it's used twice here. Okay, they're halted from going through Edom. They're going to have to go another way, because the Edomites, of course, hate Jacob Israel, as they do today. Verse 22, and set forth from Kadesh, and came the children of Israel, all the congregation, to Mount 2022, Hor, H-O-R, 2023. Har is Mount. Hor, it's Har Hor. The Mount of Mountains. Okay, Har Hor. It's a word play. They do that a lot in here. 2022 and 2023. Verse 23. And said Yahweh to Moshe and to Aharon by Mount Hor, on the border of the land of Edom, saying, verse 24, shall be gathered Aharon to his people, because he shall not enter the land that I give to the children of Israel, because that you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. I rebelled is 4784, and word is 6310, which means literally mouth, but it would be the word against my mouth or my speech or my word at the waters of Meribah. Now, think about it. What's the first thing that Aharon was involved in when they crossed the Sea of Reeds and stopped by that mountain and Moshe went up? They complained about Moshe being gone and said, make us gods. And he got all the earrings together and melted them and cast a calf and engraved it and said, oh, I'm going to proclaim a feast to Yahweh. This is the God that brought you out of Mitzrayim. And he engraved it. And then Moshe countered him on it. He says, oh, we just threw the gold in the fire and out came this calf. He lied. So Yahweh had something against him anyway. He didn't forget this. Now he's rebelled against him again. And he told him, you're not going to enter the land. Well, now he's going to take him. Verse 25. Take Aharon and his son Eleazar and bring them up to Mount Hor. Verse 26. And strip 6584. Aharon of his priestly garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aharon shall be gathered and die there. In other words, he's going to go the way of all his forefathers. He's going to be gathered to his people in death. He's going to go up that mountain and die. He's done. He's finished. And his eldest living son, Eleazar, is going to be the high priest. And I've covered all of that. When they made those garments, that set of garments was for the high priest. And when the high priest was done, they passed on to his eldest son as high priest, and that's what's going to occur here. Verse 27. And did Moshe that which commanded Yahweh. And they went up Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. They watched them go up the mountain. So Aharon would die. Verse 28, and stripped Moshe Aharon of his priestly garments and put them upon Eleazar his son, and died Aharon there on the top of the mount. And came down Moshe and Eleazar from the mount. And when saw all the congregation that had expired 1478, literally to breathe your last breath, Aharon, they mourned 1058 for Aharon 30 days. All the children of Israel, even though they had spoken against him and Moshe time and time and time again, he was a figurehead of great importance in Israel. He had been with them through all of their travels. Now, we'll get into the chapter notes here. And as I said when I read the verses, Moshe and Aharon disobeyed at the rock. Clear instruction was given by Yahweh to speak to the rock, not hit it twice with a rod. What's supposed to be done in the name of Yahweh, thus giving him the glory for the blessing of the water. Yahweh was going to give them water, not Moshe and Aharon. The rod that was used was the one thrown down before Pharaoh, and was a clear symbol of authority to Israel. And Moshe had this rod and the authority, and he was angered by the continuing rebelliousness of this congregation, and he overdid it. It got the better of him, and he was yelling at them, and then he hit the rock twice for a dramatic effect, and Aharon was right there with him, and he shared in the blame. Now, back in Exodus 32, 2 through 4, Aharon had engraved that golden calf and then just said, oh, it just came out of the fire like that. You can't lie to Yahweh. And with this second egregious action, he caused himself to be banned from entering the promised land. And Moshe too, and he was Yahweh's chosen, his favorite, the greatest prophet that ever lived. And yet Yahweh would punish Moshe with this. After taking these people through all of this, Moshe was not going to be allowed to enter the land. It was time for a change of the leadership and the priesthood. And Yahweh took Aaron out and he put in his son Eleazar. Now Moshe had more work to do and his punishment would be delayed. And we saw in this chapter how Edom came out against Israel and wouldn't even let them pass through their land to go where they were supposed to go. They didn't care about Yahweh. They didn't worship Yahweh. They had become pagans because they were of the Hittite seed line. And had the bloodline of the devil. They didn't care what Yahweh wanted. Couldn't care less. Didn't worship him. And Yahweh has said repeatedly through Scripture how he hates Edom. And Edom is among us today, and they still hate Jacob Israel. We are still hated by them. And they are the ones that are troubling us today. They mingled with all the Canaanites. And they have become a thorn in our side. Just as was foretold. We were told what they were going to do if we didn't destroy them. Well, they mixed and mixed and mixed, and they became what they are today, a big racial soup. They are trying to masquerade as Yahweh's people. They are failing miserably with that because everybody's waking up to their actions. With their usury and all the horrible things that they're doing, people basically have had enough of them, and they're waking up and say, hey, if you're God's chosen people, why are you acting like this? Why do you do all these evil things? What are you doing? If you're supposed to be a blessing, who are you blessing? Well, they're blessing their wallet. because that's a real god. They worship Mammon, Halel, whatever. They've got that satanic seed line bred into them now, and they are following the inclinations of their father, just as Yeshua Messiah said to them, "You are of your father the devil, and your father's works you do." Well, here are these same people, and they're coming out. They had mingled with all the Hittites. They're a bunch of mixed race soup, garbage, Mamzers, and they are denying true Israel passage even through their lands. They won't even let them walk through. And combined with the genocide that they have been committing against us these days, I keep reading what's going to happen in 2 Thessalonians. I read it a lot. I'm not going to do it today again. I did it yesterday. But Yeshua's coming back in flaming fire with his mighty messengers to destroy these people. And this is one of the reasons why. By their fruits ye shall know them, and their fruit is of a rotten tree. It is spoiled fruit. It is evil. All we can do one-on-one, each individual Israelite that is listening to this, we as a people, one at a time, taking our own initiative, must seek to get closer to Yahweh and obey His laws, clean our life up. If we have repented and proclaimed that Yeshua is Messiah and our Redeemer, we need to act like it. Because He said to us, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" And He also said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And who was He but a manifestation of Yahweh in the flesh of a man, so He could lift the sin up off of us for one massive act of national redemption, and then on into the future where new Israelites like us are born, and we recognize this sacrifice, and then we come under that sacred covenant. It's an ongoing process with Israel. When an Israelite passes away and a new generation is born, we have the opportunity to come under this miraculous salvation offered to us by our loving Father. He doesn't want to cast us into the lake of fire. He just wants us to straighten up and act right and obey His commands and give Him the praise that is due to Him, and His manifestation in the flesh of a man, Yeshua, who was the only one that was ever perfect in the law. He's the only one. None of us, and I'm included, none of us have ever made that. We're not perfect. We err. I err. I have to ask for forgiveness. And I pray for our people all the time, every night, when I hit the rack at night, when I finally go to bed. I pray for our people that we will listen, finally listen. And more are. More people are waking up. They're coming in one and two at a time. And it's a blessing. And I'm very, very happy to see that. And I'm very grateful for the existence of Eurofolk Radio, where we can teach the word of Yahweh in many different fashions. Eli has a different style than I do. Pastor Mullet has a different style than I do. David James has a different style than I do. You will get more news, real news, from David James in one show than you would by watching the Talmud Vision for a week. He gives it to you straight, and a lot of times it's real unpleasant. Bad news is always unpleasant, and that's what we've got that's hidden from us by the Talmud Vision. They won't tell you what David will tell you. And they post it on EFR, and you can look the stuff up. But the national news media either lies or hides. I rely on David and a lot of the posts on EFR to get news of what's really going on, because none of the news agencies will touch it, and a lot of the websites on the internet won't carry it because they are controlled by the adversary. They are owned outright, basically, by the Jews. And I don't really go out of my way to bash the Jews. I don't really need to. There's enough people doing that. I'm just trying to read the word. But the word I read to you today shows you the reason, one of many reasons, why Yahweh hates the Edomites. And that's who the Jews are today. They are descendants of Esau Edom and of Cain, the murderer that murdered Abel, because he was not Adam's son, Hebel was. He is not listed in the lineage of Adam in Genesis, because he was not Adam's son. He was Hawa's son, that's Eve, and he and Hebel were half-brothers. Same mother, different father. When the Nakash seduced her, he physically seduced her and taught her about sex and other things. And she brought that sin to Adam and taught him about it. And their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. Well, they didn't know they were even naked before. And Yahweh said to him, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of this tree?" Well, all of those things have sexual connotations, which I covered when I went through Genesis. And she was already pregnant with Cain when they were cast out of the garden. And she had him out there, and then she conceived again and had his younger brother, Hebel. And when Cain murdered Hebel, they had another child when Cain was cast out from the land. And he went into the land of wandering, and Nod means wandering. And it was Sheth, a replacement. That's what that means. And that's why Yahshua said to them, "Your father was a murderer from the beginning." And who was the first murderer? It was Cain when he murdered Hebel, unarmed. He rose up and killed him. And the seed of Cain, which is not Adamic seed line, but a satanic seed line, has mingled with all the Canaanites, and they are modern day Jewry mixed with the Khazars, who have no ties to the land of what is now called Palestine. And they are your usurers, and they are your purveyors of pornography, and the sex trade, and the slave trade. They still are into slavery. They promote homosexuality, which is sodomy. Anything that is perverted, these evil ones promote. And they have lied to and deceived our people. But now, a little at a time, our people, true Israel, the descendants of the white Western European people, are waking up. They're waking up in Europe as to the methodology of these Edomites. Yeshua removed the Aaronic priesthood because of an infestation and infiltration by Edomites. They haven't changed their modus operandi. They have infiltrated the seminaries and have taught lies and have infiltrated Judeo-Christianity to the point where it is teaching apostasy. Pagan holy days, worshiping on the day of the sun god, on and on and on and on. And the purpose of Eurofolk Radio is to wake our brothers and sisters up. Can't force you to change your ways, but we can tell you the truth and maybe it'll sink in. Maybe not. Maybe you'll just say, ah, bah, humbug, that's hogwash. Okay. But it's not for lack of trying on our part. We are doing what we are called to do by Yahweh. And those that will not believe the truth and continue on doing what they are doing in violation of Yahweh's laws will have to bear their own sin. If they don't voluntarily, by their own will, come under the covenant given to us by Yeshua Messiah, and they reject that covenant and they remain in their apostianity, they will pay a heavy price for it. And that upsets me and grieves me, because I don't want anybody to have to go through that. So I'm out here, and maybe I'm just whistling in the wind, but the word of Yahweh does not go out void. So I'm going to keep on keeping on, and I will occupy until he returns. As must we all, brothers and sisters. I will be back tomorrow with Numbers 21 and 22. And I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless you all. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the